Welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health podcast with Essentia Health. I am joined in studio by athletic trainer with Essentia Health, Christina Nistler. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
I'm super excited because we are going to talk about training and Grandma's Marathon, which is huge in Duluth. But first, I want to ask you a basic question. What is an athletic trainer? I feel like that probably gets confused with personal trainer, but it's different.
It does. Usually when I say I'm an athletic trainer, people will ask me if I like to work out a lot or if I can help them lose weight. But athletic trainers are actually healthcare providers. Traditionally, we're the people you'll see on the sidelines of a sporting event with the little fanny pack. We run out there if someone gets hurt. But we also work in the clinic in support of physicians. Athletic trainers work in performing arts, in industrial settings, basically anywhere that people are being active and could get injured. We are there to help prevent and treat injuries.
So you train for a bunch of different things, but running is really big here in Duluth. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Grandma's Marathon. So I know a lot of people, their New Year's resolution is going to be to run a marathon or run a half marathon or get into running. So let's jump right in. If someone is fairly new to running, what's a good place to start to find a training plan? You don't want to wing it.
Right. I think a great place to start is being really honest with yourself about where you're starting from when you choose that distance goal. So when you're deciding if it's going to be a half marathon or marathon, think about how much running have you been doing? What can you handle in your week? And training plans are a dime or a dozen. There are so many that are available. One of the most popular places to look is the Hal Higdon website. He makes training plans for just about every distance and every level of ability. So I think if somebody's decided on their training distance that they want and they've found a plan that they think looks good, take a look at those first few weeks of that plan and see, does this amount of running look reasonable to me? Can I do this? Does this fit into my life?
So what are some other essential steps someone should take when they decide to start training for a full or a half marathon?
Yeah, so once you've got that training plan chosen, the next thing you're going to need is a good pair of shoes. It's kind of become a joke in running that all you need is just shoes and then you can go. There's a lot of variety of shoes out there. They can range really widely in price. So visiting one of the run specialty stores in Duluth, we have three of them, find out what shoe is going to be best for you. It is kind of true. Once you have that pair of shoes, you can get going. There's all kinds of other stuff you might want, but that's the next place.
Yeah. So I did Grandma's half marathon for the first time a few years ago. I couldn't even run a mile, but I have to say the shoes make a big difference. You don't think they do, but you do not want to like just guess what kind of shoes you need. You don't want to wing that because you can get injured just by buying like a
Absolutely.
Random pair of shoes. So let's talk about physical preparation. This is something I'm always curious about. What are some key exercises or workouts that runners should incorporate into their training? Not just running. Mm-hmm. You got to do other things as well.
For sure. Definitely do not neglect strength training. Running is a power sport. You're pushing off one foot landing on the other. It's basically a series of little mini jumps over and over. So being strong and having a good base of lower body muscle support is so important for running. It'll really prevent a lot of injuries if you keep weight training as part of your routine. I also like to give people these small little exercises that I call corrective exercises. There are some that are one size fits all, but it can be a really good thing to be evaluated by an athletic trainer or physical therapist for. So they can look at your movement patterns and tell you what it is that you need to be doing. But also a lot of them are pretty universal. And so if someone were to look up corrective exercises for runners, I'm reasonably confident that the ones they find would be perfectly fine for them.
So something that I'm very guilty of is kind of neglecting nutrition when mm-hmm. it comes to running, because when you run, you get so hungry. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm like, I can just eat whatever before I run a half marathon. But obviously, proper nutrition helps. So what are some nutrition tips for runners during their training period?
Biggest tip actually is do be sure you're eating enough. A lot of people, especially women, get into running because they want to manage their weight. Either they want to lose some weight or maintain a weight. And oftentimes that will lead to restricting food while they're running. But you really need to make sure that you're fueling that training. If you're not eating enough, that compromises your muscle mass, that can cause reductions in bone density, which you really don't want if you're running. And it can make you feel tired and sluggish and make running feel hard. So being sure that you are getting full balanced meals, that you are having snacks, that you're eating before and after a run. Lots of people will try to say that they can't run with something in their stomach, which I understand. Like, it's, you know, don't go out for a run 20 minutes after you've eaten a full lunch. That's going to feel terrible. But experimenting with what type of light snack works for you before a run, and then eating that full meal within an hour after you're done to replenish the energy you've burned.
So we talked about shoes. What other things can runners do to prevent common injuries during their training? And what are some of those common injuries?
Yeah. So one really common running injury that everybody knows about is shin splints. Shin splints is the layman's term for it, but the medical term is medial tibial stress syndrome. And that's what it is. It's an overload of stress. It's too much impact on the shin bone. And it's one of the most common things because it happens to people who dive right into a training plan and do too much too soon. We also see it really commonly in high school athletes who maybe didn't do a sport during the summer and then they show up to run cross country, or didn't do anything during the winter and then start track. And so when you go from 0 to 100, that's too much. So part of, you know, when I said earlier, think about where you currently are, what your reasonable goal is, that helps a lot so that you're not going from not running to doing a lot of running and setting yourself up for shin splints.
I feel like when people start training for a marathon, they want to go like full steam ahead, mm-hmm. just start running, you know, the whole 13.1 or whatever, but slow and steady wins the race basically, yeah. is what you're saying.
And it's so exciting to start a training plan, mm-hmm. but the race is still several months away when you start training. So realizing that it's a long journey is important.
Yeah. You don't want to overdo it. That's mm-hmm. for sure. So another thing that we have to deal with in the Northland that they don't have to deal with everywhere else, mm-hmm. or I guess not everywhere else, but how should runners prepare for running in the Northland with such a variation in the weather? I start training in January. It's icy, it's cold. And then by the time grandma rolls around, mm-hmm. it can be super hot. So what are some tips you have for preparing with all the different things that the weather throws at us?
Definitely be prepared for anything, just like we are in our regular lives. During the full training cycle, you probably will go through more than one pair of shoes because of the large amount of mileage you'll be putting on. One of the pairs that I have right now is Gore-Tex, so I can run in these slushy gross puddles that we have right now and not soak through to my socks because that feels terrible. So I think having shoes that you can alternate, so if one pair gets wet, you can wear the dry pair, that's important. Being sure that you have appropriate amounts of layers. So if you start out and it's cold and then warm up, you can de-layer. And making sure that your extremities, things like fingers, toes, and ears are covered up well when you start. Because if you're going on a long run and you get far from home and the wind picks up, you need to be able to cover those fingers and noses up so that you can be protected from frostbite.
And I mean, we didn't even mention wind, but like on the lake walk, the wind can be so intense. So, I mean, you can get injured.
On just about every winter run, I will usually have a buff around my neck so that if I need to pull it up, I can.
Yeah. So because we're talking about good running habits for women and running preparation leading up to grandma's, I want to take a minute to talk about mental preparation because so much of running is mental and it is a mental thing. So how important is mental preparation for these races? And do you have any strategies we can use to stay motivated? Because it can be hard to, you know, stay motivated, especially like the April, May mark, you know, when you're kind of close to the grandma's marathon actually happening, but it's still kind of, you know, seems far away. You're tired.
Yeah. I've always felt like that period of time is a little easier to be motivated because it's starting to get so close. I think, you know, I've always struggled with like February, March when it's dark and cold and hard to get out. Being a part of a training group can really help. If you have people that you know are counting on you to show up for the run, then you're less likely to sleep in and skip it. Something that's really important across training for all races and as well as fitness in everyday life is having a reason why. What are you doing this for? Is this something that's really important to you personally that is going to make you feel good about yourself if you do it, but disappointed in yourself if you don't? That can be really powerful. If you're trying to be maybe a good example for your kids or your grandkids and you want them to see you accomplish something big, you know, knowing what your reason is, why you signed up for this in the first place. So when the going gets tough, you can be reminded why you want to do it.
Yeah. And I like what you said about joining a running group because I've done that the past few years and I got my butt out of bed so many extra times because I knew that I would be like hazed if I didn't show up. Mm-hmm. So going off of that, what role do family and friends play in a runner's marathon journey? Because it is a journey.
Yeah, it surely is. Yeah, it's a long journey and family and friends are huge. I feel like they can make or break the training process. process. I think it's important to let those people that are closest to you also know what that why is. I've had really good experiences and bad experiences on both sides of the spectrum. You know, I've had friends that tried to convince me to go out for drinks the night before a long run. And, you know, I had to say, no, I want to train really well for this race. And they were like, oh, come on, you run all the time. You don't need to train. So it's important for them to understand why. And then I've also had amazing, you know, family members who show up and support me at the marathon, carry my gels and water bottle for me, bring my extra clothes. It's something that gets hard to do alone. So having a support crew is really great.
Yeah. So because we are in Duluth, let's get specific about Grandma's Marathon here. What is Essentia Health's role in Grandma's Marathon planning and keeping the course safe every year?
Yeah. So for starters, the medical director of the race is an Essentia Health physician, Dr. Catherine McClellan. She is the leader of our medical team. And then beyond her, we have a handful of us who are Essentia Health employees who serve on the medical committee. So in the months leading up to the race, we are making the important decisions that are going to be put into action on race day. We are researching best practices in marathon safety around the country, learning from other major races, putting our policies into place. One of my responsibilities is coordinating some of the medical volunteers that are going to be along the race course, getting their supplies to them, writing the policies and procedures that they're going to follow. And then on race day, there are lots of Essentia Health employees that are in the medical tent. We also really rely on our healthcare colleagues all over the area. We really have a lot of community members that are involved.
So before my first Grandma's Half Marathon, I remember being like really nervous that if something happened to me, like I got injured or something, that I just would have nowhere to go. But can you calm anyone else's fears if they have that fear? What runners can expect for medical support along the course?
Yeah, there's a ton of medical support. And honestly, there's more than you would ever be aware of unless you were to need it. We have a medical volunteer at nearly every mile marker, starting pretty much right away. We have volunteers standing at mile 3, 4, 5. So if you need something early on, they're there for you. The basic qualifications that they have are first aid, CPR, AED. So they're ready to give you a Band-Aid if you have a blister, but they're also ready to save a life in the case of something extreme. We have members of the ski patrol teams that ride bikes along the course. So their job is to kind of be aware, to sweep, to watch for people who might need help in case something happens between a mile marker. You know, not everybody has an injury at mile marker number 4. So if something happens to them along the course, the bike patrol is out there looking for them. And then we have 5 tents where there are a larger number of volunteers who are more prepared to take care of all kinds of things.
Yeah, and we don't want to see anybody in the medical tent, but it is nice to know that no matter what mile you're on, you know,
somebody's there for you. One of the most popular things that we end up handing out is Vaseline for people who start chafing on the course.
Yep, I think everybody can relate to that. That's done a Grandma's Marathon. So it doesn't have to be something big either. Yeah. You know, you guys are there for everything. Yeah. So let's talk about future goals. When you complete a marathon, what should runners consider for their next goal or race? I remember my first one, I was like, I just want to finish. Yeah. That's all I want to do. But what are some good like goals that people can set?
Yeah. So some people finish and they've totally caught the bug and they can't wait to race again. And they feel like inspired and motivated and addicted. And that is a good time to sign up for something else when you have that motivation, but don't sign up for something that's happening within the next few weeks. After such a huge distance, your body really does need to heal. It's a pretty good idea to take a month off of hard training. Realistically, you're going to need a few days of zero running, just resting those muscles, letting yourself heal. But in somewhere between 3 to 10 days, you can start to gently run again. But yeah, use that motivation to pick your next goal.
So speaking of motivation, another thing I'm so guilty of is I do Grandma's and I do a few others, you know, but then November rolls around, December, I lose all motivation. So do you have any tips for runners that can help them maintain that motivation or their fitness? I know you mentioned signing up for another race, but what are some other tips?
Yeah, so there are all kinds of activity challenges I've noticed springing up during the winter months, especially. I see it online a lot where you can like register for a winter activity challenge. I think even, I want to say the Minnesota State Parks did one and maybe they still do where they encourage you to get outside for like a certain number of minutes per day. So I would say find some kind of challenge. Another thing, if you don't want to do another race right away and it's winter months, I like finding challenges that are going on at a gym. Like if you come to a certain number of classes, you'll get a prize. Or even if you don't want to sign up for something public like that, doing it for yourself. Like say I want to make sure that I'm exercising 30 minutes per day in the month of January. And at the end, I'm going to get myself this prize that I want.
Yeah. And it is so hard in the winter in the Northland. So any little bit that you can do, I feel like helps. So to wrap things up, what would you say to encourage somebody that's always wanted to do a race and they're just too scared? Maybe their fear is getting the best of them. What is some encouragement you could give to anyone listening to this podcast that might be in that boat?
I would say do it. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it will be hard at times. You'll be amazed with yourself, though, when you do it. I went kind of blindly into my first half marathon. And when I finished it, I thought, oh my goodness, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. This hurts so bad. I will never do a full marathon. And now I've finished 10 marathons.
Oh my goodness. It's,
once you do it, you'll just be amazed at what you can do. I think just go for it if you've been contemplating it.
Yeah, I waited like years and years. It was always my dream. And then my friend was like, oh, just do it with me. And, you know, there is something to be said when you cross the finish line. It's like a feeling that you can't describe.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered everything when it comes to good running habits for women and running preparation leading up to Grandma's Marathon and other races across the Northland. So Christina Nisler, athletic trainer at Essentia Health, thank you so much. This was so great to be able to talk about, you know, Grandma's Marathon, Essentia Health's role, and get some good tips for everybody that wants to tackle one of the Grandma's races.
I love talking about running, so I was happy to do it.
Thanks so much.